Are you a people pleaser? Chances are good that even if you said no, you might be sometimes. It's something that I see people struggle with in relation to their voice a lot, like daily. But the truth of the matter is that people pleasing affects our lives in so many ways and so negatively. I know I worked for years on my people pleasing, and I spend a lot of time helping people get past people pleasing. There's a lot of freedom that comes from the transformation of not worrying about others' needs first. And that's what we're talking about on the show today. I've got my friend Susie Connerly here with me, and we're talking all things people pleasing. I think you're going to like this episode, and I don't want you to miss a minute.
Welcome to Captivate the Room with your host, internationally known voice expert, Tracy Goodwin, an award-winning speaker who has taught hundreds around the globe to make a big impact with their voice. This podcast is for anyone who wants to step onto a bigger stage, make a bigger impact, and have a voice that makes people listen. Presentation matters, and the voice is the missing link. Join in and you'll see why.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Tracy Goodwin, and I'm so glad to have you with me today, as always. Thank you so much for your shares and your downloads and for being a subscriber. I love being on this voice journey with you. And I've got a great episode for you today. I've got Susie Connerly with me. You know, she's been on the show before, and we've got this series going. Not sure if you've listened to any of the series, but some really great topics all about voice and communication, especially in relationships, but some of the topics that are trickier to navigate. I know today's episode, I've worked with this issue significantly to shift it in my own life, and it's something that I see really, really get in the way of people using their voices. Today, we're going to talk about people pleasing, huge topic. And to get free from this, to get out from under people pleasing is huge. It really, talk about freedom, talk about shifting and transforming your life exponentially. So we're going to nut that topic around today very quickly. If you haven't joined the free Facebook group yet that I've got going, link is in the show notes. I'd love to have you in there. I love it when I hear from my listeners, especially when I get to work with my listeners, whether in a group or privately or in this Facebook group. A lot of teaching and great things going on in there. So I'd love to have you. But let's go ahead and jump on over to the episode and talk about, sort out, and give you some great solutions if you struggle with people pleasing. Susie, welcome to the show again.
Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah, I know. It's always so good to have you on the show. And listeners, for those of you who don't know, I want you to check out all the links in the show notes so you can find out more about Susie. We did an interview show together a while back. And out of that, I decided, hey, we need to do a series on communication and voice. And so we've put together this series. We've got several episodes in the series, all linked up in the show notes, talking about voice and communication and relationships, which is Susie's area of expertise, trying to give you some little nuggets of gold to help your life be a lot easier, right?
Absolutely. It's all about diving deep so we can be happy in our everyday to day.
Yeah, freedom.
Actions. Yeah,
freedom. And I got to tell you, today's topic is a big one. I would imagine that it's the biggest thing that I've worked on in my life. And I would imagine that just about everybody on earth, maybe everybody on earth, struggles with this one. I guarantee just about every woman on earth struggles with this one. Today, we're going to talk about people pleasing. Would you agree? Would you say just about everybody, whether they admit it or not,
but just to, yeah.
And I think that even if people don't consciously acknowledge that term people pleasing, they engage a lot in a lot of that behavior.
Yeah. Consciously and subconsciously. I know when I'm doing it.
A lot of people who do this don't want to admit that they're doing it.
Don't want to admit it. Yeah. So let's just break this down. Let's talk through this. What is people pleasing? When I say to you people pleasing, what's the first thing you think of?
Behaving in a way that is actually not true for you just to please other people or to make them happy or to not cause conflict.
Yeah, that's good. I think for me, and my comment about my definition just comes from years of working to not be a people pleaser, is probably a little different. It's about keeping people happy to feel safe. But that's literally coming from, that is how I had to navigate my entire existence growing up with a narcissistic mother. Mm-hmm. I would do anything. I would do anything to keep her happy. Yeah. And as a result of that, I woke up as an adult figuring out I navigated the world that way.
Yeah. And that's because you've gone there and you've gotten that out of it. I think that some people might have an idea that what they do is based on the past, but a lot of people don't. A lot of people really don't understand that a lot of the behavior that they have in their life is due to their upbringing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think let's talk about where people pleasing comes from. I'm sure that's what you're going to say. And I know for me, it was literally a learned behavior that I owed them.
Yeah.
That I had to be what they wanted and needed me to be. One, for their own survival. That was obvious to me. And two, for me to have any sense of peace, it was all about keeping, you know, pleasing them. So is it literally like what you talk about all the time? It's comes from stuff that we pick up on when we're kids and it goes into the subconscious. Is that where it comes from?
Yep. Every time.
Every time.
Every time.
Every time. So that's just a given.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. You wouldn't have a pattern in your life if it didn't serve you on the surface, if you didn't develop that in your subconscious. You just would never learn to do it.
So from that pattern, let's go a little deeper on this. Why are we doing that? Do we feel we owe people? Is it about worth? I don't deserve to have what I want. I need to make you happy because you deserve what you want. Why are we ultimately being people pleasers?
I think it's more basic than that. Think we learn to have a behavior or a personality type that got us through our environment in childhood. Mm. And many of us came into life with a parent or parents, or even if you grew up in foster homes or in situations like that, we literally just learn to become whatever it is that we need to in order to feel emotionally and physically safe. So for children, it's oftentimes that they absorb, you know, children are so sensitive, they feel everything. So if they feel conflict or something happening outside of them and they feel that they need to keep quiet or make people laugh even, or to put their needs aside to make other people happy, they'll do it in an instant. You know, think about how quickly a two-year-old learns to have different personality types. They'll either learn to be charming or they'll learn to throw a fit, whatever gets them what they want. And they learn it very soon. You know, it's like, so every type of our behavior serves us in some way. A lot of people who are people pleasers are actually, maybe they're jovial, maybe they're happy people, and maybe they learn, oh, that's what people always want from me, so I'll always do that. This is what my contribution to the environment is, but they don't realize that they're also developing their self-worth around that. And so they literally don't know who they are without these personality types, you know, or, oh, people can always, you know, rely on this one person. But if you really, you know, if you really look down at it, it's like their actions aren't serving them to people. Yeah. Right? But they feel that they need to do it.
All right. So let me unpack that just a little bit. So really a huge part of it is about safety.
Yeah, always.
All of it.
Well, perceived emotional safety.
Also. Yeah, yeah.
There's nothing that we can do, especially even, you know, as we get older, there's really nothing that is so, that you want that's so unreasonable that you can't have it, really, you know? But a lot of people don't want to rock the boat in their relationships. They don't want to shake things up. They don't want to, you know, even people say, well, I'm always known as the daughter who does everything at Thanksgiving. I'm always the one who helps, you know, my neighbors with this, or I'm always, and they're unconsciously sort of addicted to being that way, even if they don't like it.
Well, I love that. And I do want to unpack a little bit more of what you said a minute ago, but I want to jump on that for a minute and talk about secondary gain. I love that you brought that up. And that was a big game changer for me. I mean, this is classic my story, people. You know, I know maybe you're surprised, maybe you're not. I don't know. If you've worked with me before, you may be surprised. I've spent a lifetime recovering. I'm a recovering people pleaser, totally. And I never really was in my work, but in familial relationships because of my upbringing. And that was literally, you just told my story. It was 100% about safety. It was 100% about, I had to stay, keep her in that place of neutrality because the screaming and the silent treatment were unbearable for me. Looking back now, knowing I'm sure I was born an intuitive and an empath, it was tenfold. The silence was deafening. The screaming was literal physical torture for me. So it was all about safety. But then just like voice issues, the things that were put in place when you were five, they're no longer serving you now, those bad habits. And that was the real turnaround for me was, okay, everybody's not going to do that just because she did. But then I had to go to that next level and look at secondary gain, like what you're talking about. I was oftentimes choosing to stay in that place because there was clearly a secondary gain. I was benefiting from a behavior that, or whatever I was getting. Like you used the example of Thanksgiving dinner. You know, I can then be a martyr. You will then feel bad for me. I will then have more power or something like that. You know, it's like hypochondriacs. There's always a secondary gain. You take care of me when I'm sick.
Yeah. I work with a lot of people who are the givers and who still feel guilty and like they don't give enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, that was me too.
Protecting yourself from internalized shame or guilt. That's not true, but that you just feel, you know, anytime you felt like you weren't making other people happy when you were a little kid, you felt like, oh, maybe something's wrong with me. Maybe I'm not good enough or I'm not a good kid. And maybe that's why, you know, they're acting this way. And it never had anything to do with you, you know?
Right.
Kids don't know that. It doesn't have anything to do with them. The world right. isn't perfect. People and adults are not perfect and they're acting out of a lot of their own unconscious wounding.
Yeah.
And when I work with my clients, that is the one thing that is liberating for them is seeing that, oh, my, you know, that adult was dealing with something I had no idea, but I changed myself.
Yeah.
You know, I changed what I needed in order to make them happy because the conflict or feeling rejected was difficult.
Yeah. And that's where the power is. That's where I, you know, like I talk about in my work, we go after the driver and the bad habit. And I think we have to look at that driver. But yeah. What I hear you saying in that, and this is something that you mentioned earlier that I want to go back to, which I think is really important, is this is really, this people pleasing is really tied to worth.
Mm-hmm. Cute. Yeah, absolutely.
Huge, right?
Oh, yeah.
I don't feel good enough. And so if I can do enough, If I can make you happy, if I can get it right, then I'm finally worthy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of empaths, a lot of people who are sensitive or who are helpers, are caught in this cycle of they don't realize that their self-worth is caught up in that, in helping. And that's why it's so hard when you try to help someone and they don't take your help or they don't do anything with it, because you know, the person might unconsciously feel like they're a failure because they couldn't help.
Oh yeah.
Because it didn't work.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's all about self-worth. We learn that our place in society, and you have to remember our subconscious is a primitive, it's based on primitive way of being, on tribal society and on safety and security, where our safety and security survival-wise was dependent on whether or not we could do our job in society. We had to go out and gather and hunt and keep ourselves safe from danger, right? The trouble is that emotional safety and security registers at the same level of importance as physical safety and security. A lot of people don't realize that what we felt kept us safe from rejection and kept us close to connection, what helped make us feel significant but not different. Mm-hmm. You know, what helped us feel all of these things, and safety and security in society emotionally are just as important as the physical components. So the mind does not like to be surprised. You know, we don't like rejection. We would almost rather, we learn to reject ourselves first or to see ourselves in a negative light before we can get rejected again. You know, all of these things in the mind feels safe. And we know now, Tracy, that the things that we developed that kept us safe when we were young are no longer true. Right? It's like, yeah, when you grow up and you move out on your own, you don't live with those people anymore. You might not, you know, even our parents, they change over time.
Yeah.
Or our circumstances, our environment changes over time. And it's no longer true. It's no longer relevant for us, but we still have these same unconscious patterns, having a death grip on our mind until we get in there and consciously start to shake them loose and create new patterns.
Yeah. And that's scary.
Yeah. It's a big one.
Well, you know, I know for me that the self-worth thing, it was definitely a self-worth thing. It was definitely a fear thing. It was definitely a survival and a safety thing. Mm-hmm. But a big part of it, and I don't know that I've ever even talked about this much on air, but I think it's important because I know that when I do talk about these things, I always get a barrage of people that can relate. And that's why I talk about them. And if I'm just a few steps ahead on the path, then I believe it's my responsibility to, or I want to be able to share those things. But for me, a big part of my people pleasing was, and this is how I was spoken to, was about what you need is more important. What you want is more important. What I want, and I think a big part of that was in my own story. I was repeatedly told I couldn't do it. I mean, I've mentioned this before on the show. I wasn't allowed to do my homework. You know, some kids would have loved that. Well, I wanted to build my mud fort Alamo in the fourth grade, and I wasn't allowed to do it because, oh, you can't do that. So a big part of that worth for me was, well, you're right, I can't. You must be good at things. You must be important. I'm not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
as children, we're taught that we're not as important.
Yeah.
Sometimes you see the opposite now. We're raising little queens and princesses and kings and princes. You know, it's like people are putting their kids on a pedestal, almost in backlash of this.
Yeah.
Not heard, right?
Yeah.
So it's almost like they don't know that the proper boundary space, and they're totally going the opposite, where they're giving their children, they can take over the dinner party, or they can, you know, those kind of things, unhealthy as well. But for the majority of people in adulthood now, they were raised, you know, and believing at least in that their needs weren't as important. And oftentimes it's just children, they don't understand that when their behavior is not acceptable, that it's not them as a person that's right. Not it's just the behavior that was undesired.
Well, and that's, yeah.
As guilt or shame around it, and then feel like, oh, I just have to be this all the time now, or I make everybody happy because it doesn't feel good when they punish me.
Well, that's that pendulum swinging again, like we talked about in the episode on, I think it was expectations. You know, it's either this or this, and there's a middle that we don't work in. But I have to tell people all day long, and when I made this realization, that's when I really wasn't a people pleaser anymore, was that I'm worthy just because I am.
Yeah.
Just the fact that I was created. And that's really simple to say, well, that's enough, that I don't have anything to prove, that I don't have anything to please, that I don't have anything, that I am worthy if I never do anything again. If I never serve again, I'm worthy.
And that is true for every human, but most people don't believe that.
No, I would say 98% don't.
Yeah. They still feel like they have things to prove.
And if I get it right, and if I make you happy. And that is, I want to talk about what a death sentence that has to be in a relationship and all the levels and layers of that. But I want to touch on something before we go there. I want to touch on, you've brought up a couple of times this helping. And I think this is probably what trips up women the most in the people pleasing, maybe men too. But I know I'm a giver. I know I love what I do. We've had conversations just today about how I'm a borderline workaholic because I'm on such a mission. I love my work so much, and I'm on such a mission to change as many people's lives as I can before I leave this planet, to the point of default, right? You know, to the point of, I got to look at some things, right? So how do we, so there really has to be a balance in, you know, where do we find that balance in, I'm not helping anybody, I'm not pleasing anybody, I'm not doing, you know, what is the core of that versus I'll give you everything I've got? Again, the pendulum is on either side, right? And it's has to become, we have to start coming from a place of serving within balance and within limits and no resentments to it, and not for a designated outcome. I'm doing it to get something from you, right? Let's talk about that.
That is an amazing question. And I feel like that is all about alignment. And when you get in alignment with the truth of what you're doing and your motivations for doing it, when you do something to serve, it has a dramatically different intention than I'm unconsciously doing this because I need to be seen to be successful because I felt like such a failure, or I'm unconsciously trying to prove to my father who died that I made it or that I'm worth something or, you know, any of those things. But when you get into alignment with, I don't need gratification, I don't need validation, I don't need success, what I'm doing is an offering of myself, and just being as honest as you can and taking everything that you are and putting it into that, right? But if you do feel that you're out of balance, and it could just be like you're so fired up about this and you're more, it's more in alignment for you to work than it is maybe, you know, you don't have the friendships that you need, or you don't have the support that you need. And maybe if you had support in those other areas, it would bring balance into, because you would find more leisure time and more time for you to receive, so that when you went to give, it was coming from an even more pure place, right? But a lot of people are unconsciously out there to achieve, or to fulfill something unconsciously. That's the thing, is that if you have unconscious motivations about what you're doing, that changes the energy from one of, you know, something that's just an offering to one of an unconscious expectation or a push and pull, right? So that if you don't do that, or if you don't reach what you feel that you want to, that you take that personally. When you're just offering from a place of alignment, you don't need anything back, except for, of course, you get to charge money and you get to set limits on how much you give, and it's in an equal energy exchange. But you can absolutely achieve that by asking all the right questions and getting into alignment and not doing it for anything like people pleasing or validation or, you know, unconsciously trying to receive something that you're not owning up to in that moment. Right. And sometimes it's just like, we've even talked about this before. You have to be your own best friend.
Yeah.
You have to say, are you burning the candle at both ends? Stop. Stop. And really, this is where when people face any kind of, when you try to change a habit, when you actually go to change it and you draw that line in the sand and you walk over it and you're like, I'm not going back. That's where you see where your real conflict is, if any, right? It shakes it loose because any resulting fears or resistance that comes up will tell you what your real issue is. It's really fascinating. I find that what people think their issue is usually not quite it. It's usually related or something different. The emotional driver underneath that is actually something different than they think that it is. But it really will begin to reveal itself when you push yourself to create a new habit. You know, when you're like, okay, I'm not going to people please anymore. I'm not going to offer the extra thing to the family barbecue. I'm not going to give in to my partner the next time they're being unreasonable. I'm not going to do that anymore, right? You get to face the part of yourself that you're usually pushing down. And that will tell you everything you need to know.
Well, that's just like voice work. People come and they say, well, I'm not really being as people can't hear me. It doesn't have anything to do with your volume. Mm-hmm. And they're often dumbfounded when I rattle off. Yeah. Well, why are you asking my permission? You know, what are you talking about? I came here because I thought I wasn't loud enough, you know, right. And yeah, that's the surface and we're going to fix that, but that's not the problem.
Right.
And I think, you know, even in my, I mean, this is certainly what I'm sharing today is certainly been my latest level on this, you know, because, you know, I'm a lifelong fix it. And what I heard you say in all of that, which I think is so important, we're really good at tricking ourselves. We're really good, you know, like I was really good. And this workaholic thing, it's just started since I was in California. And I'm really good, you know, we're really good at tricking our, well, you know, it's because of this or because of that or because we have to, or because of this, or because of that. And I'll never forget one of the most valuable lessons I learned 30 something years ago that I still have to revisit. What are your motives?
Yeah.
What are your motives, Tracy?
That's what I was talking about. Motivation.
Yeah.
What are your motives?
Totally.
Really trying to get here.
Totally spot on with that.
Yeah.
And oftentimes we know we've got an ulterior motive or, you know, a motive to, I need a positive reinforcement or whatever it is. But like you say, sometimes we don't, but if we just stop and ask that question, sometimes these answers will come to the surface, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think another big part of what I heard you saying is, and we can talk about this more when we talk about solution, but that willingness to be in the uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not going to bring the extra dish. When I heard you say that, I could hear people all over, all the listeners, you know, many of the listeners shuddering at the thought of telling their sister that they aren't bringing the extra dish. Like it's just, does it become an easier choice? So it becomes this, even though we hate it and it wrecks our lives, it's just freaking easier to say, all right. Path of least resistance.
But the path of least resistance in the temporary screws you in the long term.
Big time. Big time.
Like the avoidance. Anytime you know you're avoiding something, get really curious about it. And I am the biggest proponent for non-judgment, non-criticism of yourself, because A, it's a waste of time. B, it doesn't help you get clear on what it means. Right? And being hard on ourselves is the most energy-sapping habit that the majority of humans have. We are so critical. We are so hard on ourselves, so much so that we won't even get curious because we would end up into just this self-punishment cycle or shame or guilt. And, you know, as much as you can get out of that and just get really curious about what it is that you're resistant to or you're avoiding. Because that discomfort is your gift. That discomfort is a gift in your gateway into healing. When you can get into that and truly step into that, you will see what's really going on. But as long as you resist it, it will persist. You've heard that term, what you resist persists. It is true.
It's the truth.
Mind, it's like that's the subconscious and conscious mind loops, right? We consciously think something, but we are wasting our time, you know? The truth of habits and beliefs are beneath the surface. And in order to get there, you have to stop doing what is easy in the moment, but hard overall.
Yeah. And you'll waste years. You'll wake up, because I know I wasted years on some of this stuff. Wasted years of your life. And you wake up and you're 50 something and you're like, I can't believe I just did that. You know, so it's where do you want your pain to be? You know, you want to wake up in your 50s and you realize you threw half, you know, half your life away because of path of least resistance over people pleasing? Or do you want to just push through the uncomfortable in the moment, like right now? Well, let's jump over here for a minute. I want to talk about people pleasing as a death sentence in relationships. That's got to lead to resentment.
Yes.
Big time, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, I did all this for you.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Unconscious agreements.
Ah, let's talk about that.
What do they call them? Covert contracts. They're also called covert contracts, right? I do this for you and you haven't done anything for me. Or, you know, like we think that a lot of people, this is kind of a side thing, but related is that sometimes if you don't know that you people please, if you judge people, that should be your ticket into uncovering where you people please. It sounds weird, but every time you judge somebody for being different than you or for not doing something you thought that they should, you should be signaling into yourself that you probably people please somewhere that you don't know. And that's why it makes you angry, because when somebody doesn't meet your expectation or people please you, you judge them.
Oh, wow. That's powerful.
It sounds weird, but if you don't consciously recognize that you people please, this might be your gateway into getting curious about that.
I love that. So expectations, like we did the episode on expectations, is right linked right in there with people pleasing.
Huge.
The bedfellows.
Yeah. Yeah. But people pleasing is one of those things that when this is one of the most powerful habits to uncover, because it directly leads to more personal power. You know, you're literally, anytime you spend energy or time doing something that's out of alignment with what you really want, you're giving your power away.
But then, and I am in agreement, but then why, and I've heard this, and I've heard this from people, I've experienced it myself, then why does it feel like loss? If I don't make you happy, I'm going to lose. I think that's the big fear in taking the clause out of that, is that if I don't keep, and I mean, if I've heard this from a lot of people, if I don't keep them happy, they're going to walk away. Mm-hmm. And so, and I get it, but I want to hear your thoughts on it. So I'll just be miserable. I'll sacrifice myself. It's martyrdom, really. I'll sacrifice myself because I can't lose you. Mm-hmm. Does that play into it in relationships, that fear of loss? And so I have to keep you happy.
That's the heart of it. That's the heart of it, is that yeah, if you rock the boat, you're going to lose people. And they won't like you.
Yeah. So we have to get okay with that.
Yeah. And, you know, in essence, people pleasing is actually an incredibly selfish act.
Yeah, it really is, right?
It's actually really manipulative.
Yeah.
And not in a devious way, but it right, is unconsciously manipulative. And if you get really honest with yourself, most people who are people pleasers, it's really to protect yourself. It's not to protect anybody else.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, as you're talking about that, I'm thinking about, and you guys have heard me talk about this before. It was profoundly significant in my life when I used to, now, Susie, you've worked with me and you guys know me. And a lot of you that are listeners have worked with me. And you know, I don't mince words, but believe it or not, 25 years ago, people sat in front of me and I struggled deeply to tell them what I truly heard. I did not say things like, "Whoa, dude, what are you trying to prove?" And it was because I didn't want them mad at me. And in retrospect, I didn't serve those people in the best way. Mm-hmm. Because the truth of the matter is, my people find me, and the people that aren't for me, I don't want them anyway. Because they're not my people. I'm not going to serve them. But we have to start drawing those. And when I drew that line in the sand, then everything shifted for me. This is who I am. So it becomes about drawing lines in the sand and embracing who we really are and being that.
Yeah.
And being okay with the walkaways. Mm-hmm. Right?
A lot of courage.
Takes tremendous courage.
A lot of courage. A lot of people are unconsciously afraid of losing people.
Yeah.
You know, and not that that fear is, it's usually not warranted. You know, usually the people
right.
really in our relationships are there to stay. Some people might, but you know, that really, you have to get clear on, do you want close relationships with someone who is going to reject you for being you?
Yeah.
You know, but it does take courage, and it takes courage to go through that time of reconfiguration, if you will, in your relationship. So if you're used to giving out, or if you're used to doing things in a way that to fulfill other people's expectations or to please other people, and you stop doing that, people are going to feel a shakeup. You know, most people are going to stay in your life. Some people might not, but you know, you only really see people's true colors when you start to be in alignment with who you are.
Yeah.
But can you afford to create relationships that you're unsatisfied with?
Yeah.
I can't. And that's what I'm all about, is I think that we have unconsciously developed these habits over millennia, and it's time that we not do it. It's time that we align with who we truly are and let other people be themselves too, unapologetically, you know? And that's what, like, we always talk about these concepts, unconditional love, right?
Yeah.
Like, how many conditions are you putting on yourself? You know, if you really need to take the extra dish or to give into your partner to feel deserving or worthy of love, you've got work to do.
Well, indeed. And I think it is all of it's a little bit of work, but it's not, but like you say, when you get to the other side of it, it's so worth it. I mean, even looking at my business, I know I serve people better now. I know I'm happier with who I am. I am completely okay that other people go to other voice coaches because they need that person. That is their person, you know, and after, I've talked about this a little bit on the show, but after that horrific loss that I had with that friend, on the other side of that pain, okay, so one, we have to be willing to sit through pain, mm-hmm. you know, and that's kind of what we were talking about, the no, I'm not bringing the extra dish to the dinner. We have to be willing to sit through the pain, but we also have to be open to the possibility, and I see this with my people all the time, we have to be willing to be open to the possibility that it actually could be better without them.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that. Yeah.
Well, I never once in my life have I had a loss that something great didn't come out of it. Never once.
Absolutely agree. Yeah.
And I mean, it sucked in the going through.
Yeah.
But on the other side, I can look back and say, you know what? That friend had to leave me because I wasn't willing to let that go. And that wasn't serving me to get to the next level. And I got a mission here. I have a purpose here. And anything that is going to keep me from that has to fall away. And no amount of people pleasing is going to keep someone around that needs to go.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that's a lot to do with psychological enmeshment and perceived safety and security. You know, your safety and security is absolutely, totally deserved
in every way,
you know, but we do, once we develop a relationship, it feels like life wouldn't be the same without them. And it's never
true. It's never true. It's never true. You know, it's just not. And that's a hard thing to wrap your mind around. And it's a hard thing, especially in the moment, to start thinking about what your life would be like without that person. But I'll tell you something, and I deal with this in voice work all the time. When we really get to using your voice, there is nothing that I would trade today for the freedom that I have.
Yeah.
To say what I need to say and to reveal who and how I really am. Not that I don't have things to learn and work on. I'll be doing that till the day I die. Not that I'm perfect, not even close. Don't even try to be. Right. Not that I'm not for everybody. A lot of people don't like me. I'm okay with that, right? You know, but it's just that ability to use your voice and to stop being what you think everybody wants you to be. It dramatically affects your voice when you people please. It dramatically affects the sound. It dramatically affects how we process you. It dramatically affects everything about what you get in life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I don't know. We've kind of peppered in throughout this whole episode some solutions to stop. You know, I don't really know. Is there anything else we need to say about solutions? We've kind of, as we've gone through the whole episode, we've given thoughts and ideas for people to ponder about releasing that grip.
Yeah, I think that this is something that it should become easier in your more casual relationships or people that you're just developing friendships with. And with relationships that are older, it's absolutely doable. And you have to start somewhere, right? But it's going to be a little bit more ninja skills to get those deeper relationships sort of used to this new way of being. But you can always start somewhere, and you know yourself best. So you know that what's going to be your, you know, all I recommend is that you ask yourself to look at these patterns and start to change it somewhere. And know that as you do that, it will get easier over time. But know that the more you continue to participate in these types of connections in a way that's not serving you, the less energy and the less happiness that you're going to have overall. The one thing we didn't talk about is that people pleasing is actually very disconnective to the person who's doing it, right?
Okay.
You're unconsciously disconnecting from what you need to fulfill the needs of other people. That creates a lack of happiness, a lack of fulfillment, and it feels empty and lonely inside that place. Right? To feel like you exist to serve others, or your life is here to make other people happy, but not yourself. That's a very disconnective experience that can lead to, like, you know, this feeling of existential unfulfillment, unhappiness. I have all these things, but I'm still not happy. Right? A lot of people are coming up against this, and people pleasing is a huge, huge problem for that. Right? But when you start somewhere, and when you just, you sort of have to make some commitments to yourself.
Is part of that, and not to go down another trail, because I know we're trying to wrap things up, but is part of that guilt that I should even have these needs?
Of course.
Part of it, because I know you've mentioned guilt and shame earlier. So is part of it, I feel guilty for even having a need,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
I know that was part of it for me, you know, was that we were just beaten up, not literally, but figuratively, when we wanted something or needed something, to the point that it was clear to me, I went into adulthood believing that it was bad to get, I mean, you don't get what you want.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's part of it.
And it becomes a comfort zone to be secondary.
Ah, that's that secondary gain, right? Yeah. It just feels better here.
Yeah, to be second in line to, you know, people who do a lot of these types of behaviors. They're more comfortable putting themselves last or putting themselves secondary. You know, as long as they put other people's needs above theirs, they almost have a sense of safety. You know, it's when they start to put themselves first that becomes really uncomfortable.
Well, and what a trade-off, because that secondary thing cannot not lead to resentment.
Right.
Right? It may take 10, 20, 30 years, but eventually you're going to be mad as hell.
Yeah.
That you did all that. You chose to do it, but you're going to, you know, that the resentment.
People who people please are actually also unconsciously very passive aggressive.
Yeah.
Because they've done all this stuff and they still don't feel like.
You owe me.
Yeah.
You owe me.
And I'm still not, you know, I'm still not having things done for me that I want. I do all these things and nobody does anything.
Yeah. And that's right in there with that expectation. Shouldn't have had that expectation to begin with. That was a bad motive, right? Bad motive. Mm-hmm. Well, this was a light discussion.
Crazy, but I hope people are, you know, getting a lot out of this. And absolutely, they can find us and email us questions if they have anything or if anything's too triggering. You know, reach out to me on social media. Or on the contact form on my website, I'd be happy to, you know, just message you something a little bit to get you started or give you resources, because it can be really triggering for people, but you can start somewhere. And I have some offers on my website. I have a free 50-minute audio recording all about resolving relationship emotions. And you can use that, you know, if you're in a tough space. There's tons of meditations on YouTube, funny ones, you know, ones that are deep, things that you can use to process these feelings when it feels too big. But yeah, we always go deep, but I hope it sparks change, because that's what we're really all about.
Yeah. Yeah. Alleviating the suffering is my number one. That's my mission. You know, people come to me for voice, but I hope that I give them freedom, because that's what it's about for me, really. You know, the vehicle is voice, but that's not my agenda.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's always such a pleasure. And I think that these are discussions are really important. I think that they're not easy, but they're really important. And I think that the work is not always easy, but it's really important.
Yes. It can lead to liberation if you let it.
Yeah. So Susie's information will definitely be linked up in the show notes. Go check out her freebie. Reach out to her. I know some of you have. Reach out to her. Talk to her. You can always reach out to me, but you know, when it comes to relationships and communication, she's your girl. So do that. And I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. Thank you again, Susie, for being with us. It's always a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you, listeners. You know, I love having you on this voice journey, but I'm going to wrap it up for today. Until I see you next time, you know what to do. Get out there and speak your truth. Just do it beautifully.
Thanks for listening to Captivate the Room with Tracy Goodwin. You can reach out to her at captivatetheroom.com and be sure to grab the Voice Formula, a free video series that will help you start making a bigger impact with your voice today. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on iTunes.